Welcome back. Respect the pick. We're ranking the Dick Van Dyke Show episodes. What ones are we on now?
We're on number 132. We did the top 26 worst. Is that how we're phrasing it?
The top worst.
Or the bottom 26?
The best at being bad.
Yeah, okay, that
works. Okay, and I know the Dick Van Dyke fans. Well, so we're doing 132 to 122. That's 11 episodes. We do 11 episodes here.
Hold on. We always do a top 11 lists. Right, best lists. Movies, best songs, best theme songs, best characters, best, you know, and exactly. Whatever we're talking about.
Well, sometimes when you mess up, like I just did, it gives you the opportunity to correct me so everybody hears it. I do that a lot on this show.
Okay.
I mess up on purpose. All right, anyways. So we're doing 132 to 122. A lot of people say, oh, there's no bad episode. When you suppose it's a super fan, you say there's no bad episodes.
Well, I was surprised when we were making some of this, you know, when we were recording our data, when we were making our rankings, how low you numbers you gave to some of these. It's like, how is this your favorite show if you gave it that low?
Well, but that's because you don't get the you don't get the ranking system, right? Like, just because it's a one on the Dick Van Dyke Show ratings doesn't mean it's a one ever. Like theoretically, when we didn't do this, theoretically you would take, because there's 158 episodes, theoretically you would take 158 and that would get 158. Your favorite episode would get 158.
Right, okay.
And then all the way down, and your least favorite episode would get one.
Okay.
That's why. So when you look at a chart, it should be like, most of the episodes should be around the 50s, and then, you know what I mean? Like, so our averages were all in the high 40s, low 50s, except for yours. Yours were all in the high 50s.
So another way of putting it is, and let's see how much controversy I stir up with this take, but a South Park 5 would be a Family Guy negative 483.
Exactly. I mean, I don't know that that's the case, but like, if you think like a terrible show, like a Saved by the Bell 1 doesn't stand up to a Dick Van Dyke 1.
Okay, yeah, you know what I mean? Sense. Yep. Okay, I'm on board now.
And so you just rated them like 1 through 100 just based on every TV show, but it was only supposed to be based on Dick Van Dyke Show episodes.
Right, but that, I mean, to get it precise like that is hard to each of us go through.
No, I know, but the way we did it, and if we look at our averages, we had a pretty good bell curve with how many, you know, I was impressed.
Okay.
Our averages should be should be middle of the pack. Right. So, okay. Anyways, the fan page, man. We got some we put them on the fan page so people would watch.
Yeah.
It's hard to get things published on fan pages on Facebook because they don't want you to put links, right?
Right. And a lot of fan pages don't want you to like advertise your stuff on it either.
Right. Well,
Get stuff approved. So I want to thank those guys for posting those. That's awesome.
It's relevant to the show. I mean, you have a fan page, and what are you doing on the fan page other than a lot of times just recycling quotes and old pictures and, oh, have you guys seen this one yet? And this gives it a new thing. People can talk. People can argue. We had a couple people who made some comments and pretty good breakdown of our top 25.
Yep, it was good. One guy said that he agreed with the bottom 15, but he would have switched it around a little bit. Yeah. I commented on that guy.
Mm-hmm. And one lady, and maybe we could, next episode, we could mention who it is. She said that even though she agrees to a point about Sally with, you know, always husband hunting as being an older, kind of an old, like woman trope, like a sexist kind of thing.
Right.
She made a good point that Sally also was a writer, a head writer in a room.
Right. Well, something that I mentioned is that people used to go up to Rosemary all the time and say, hey, you inspired me to be a writer.
We had compared it to Mary Richards, and she had said that she didn't think that was a fair comparison.
And here's another thing. It doesn't have to be so general. So what if that's what Sally Rogers wanted? So what if Sally Rogers wanted to give up her career for a marriage?
No, that's true.
You know, who cares? That's her choice. It doesn't have to represent all women.
No, I know, but they do that. That's the thing, and I'm, while we're on that subject right now, I'm going to quick mention it because my wife and I have been watching the Mary Tyler Moore Show, which is almost as good as the Dick Van Dyke Show. Man,
I have to get back into
it. It's so good, but every time they do a special or they talk about the Mary Tyler Moore Show, the thing that they talk about is Mary Richards was a single woman and she was working in a newsroom where men usually work, and she wasn't necessarily, she didn't have to be married. She didn't have a husband. She didn't have kids, and she was revolutionary. But, and then they just stopped. They don't talk about how freaking funny Ted Knight was as Ted Baxter, or how Ed Asner was as Lou Grant, or how funny Valerie Harper
Betty
was.
Betty White as gets brought up plenty though.
Betty White was hilarious. Yeah. Oh my dude. They lost a lot of people on that show to their own shows, right? Spinoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought in Betty White, who was amazing. And they brought in Gloria Engel as Georgia. And she's hilarious as well. So the show is just, it reminds me of Parks and Rec.
It's, you know, oh, yeah. Okay.
It's a woman in the lead. Yep. You know what I mean?
Strong female lead.
Strong female. With lots of great characters. Lots of great cast.
Lots of professional ambition, putting work before a relationship kind of thing.
And great cast members. Unbelievable. Right? Parks and Rec. You have tons of great characters.
Right.
So, anyways.
Well, hold on. Speaking of cast members, we forgot to mention we're missing one today.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Jaden. And Jaden's not here. Look up above me.
Yeah, there's no. I'm, to me, it's next to me.
Yeah, he's not here. He's in school. Jaden's going to college. So
hopefully we'll get him remotely when he can't get home sometimes. But today he couldn't even do that.
No, he can't even remote. He's auditioning for some.
So he gave us permission to get on and talk about the next 11.
Because I want to get it going. Because these fan pages, dude. I going back to that. I posted one, and these guys are like, "Hey, we should do our own 158." These guys don't even know. One of the guy's names, the guy
Rob
who ran against Rob. He was like, he held that against us, and we didn't know.
Hey, that's a fair statement.
That's fair. It's fair. They just because they know it better doesn't mean that their opinion matters more. Like, you know what I mean? But okay.
Well, it means maybe that they've seen it more and that they pay more attention than we do.
Yeah. I mean,
at least on that episode. Again, that's an episode. If I don't like it as much, sometimes I'll skip over it.
Right. So we're going to jump right in now. Okay.
Okay.
We're going to go to what episode number?
This is episode 132.
132. Everybody started doing the
This twizzle. One's fun. I don't get why so many, why it made it so low. Just the dancing scene at the end alone, watching Dick Van Dyke do his thing. That's one of the first ones where you see him like get down and boogie.
And classy Freddie Blassie jumps in there.
Yeah, I was gonna say he gets it, and he's another one. He looked like he had white hair. It was probably like bleach blonde, but he looked like his hair was really white too. And that's how he looked in the '80s when he was introduced to him. And he did a sit down mock breakfast with Andy Kaufman.
Yeah, he did.
That was kind of like a parody of an Andre the Giant interview that they did back in the day.
Yeah, Freddie Blassie was big back then, man. Like, so, but
yeah, the twizzle.
But that, come on, the one dream that's in my heart.
That is just not the style of music. Like you'd expect to hear a song and a voice like that in a Marx Brothers or Laurel and Hardy movie,
right? Right.
You know, and how can you tell me this? Can you tell me how singing into a phone, walking back and forth throughout the living room, gives you a good enough audition for Mel Cooley to say, sign that man on my show?
Yeah, Mel Cooley was hearing, one dream. Right? That's that.
Yeah. But that actor's name, Jerry Lenning, he was in Damn Yankees. That's his. That's the biggest role. I couldn't find much else about him. The IMDb didn't even have a picture of him.
Damn Yankee, like on Broadway, or
no, the movie.
Oh,
he played a character in that. And another thing that is impressive is that, you know, usually when you talk about a character like that, you know, who's supposed to be what, 18, 17, 18.
Mm-hmm.
He was actually 19 when they recorded that. So, you know, normally they have like a late 20s, early 30s guy playing a teenager.
Do you think they were making fun of the twist, or were they trying to capitalize on the twist?
Probably a little bit of both. I mean, but what's the deal? Why did they have to have it in a bowling alley? I don't get that part.
Because of the shoes, right? Because they could dance with the shoes. And everybody's going in the twizzle, twizzle, twizzle.
The one thing I always notice about that is that you can hear Buddy in the background going 5, 6, 7, 8,
8.
Yeah, he's so loud.
5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, buddy. 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yeah, he's really loud.
Yeah. But I mean, you get to see Mary Tyler Moore do a little dance thing. And other than tap, you know, normally it's just they're up there doing tap, you know, or soft shoes or whatever you call them. And you know, Dick Van Dyke just gets up there and he's like, woo, you know, he does the little thing that he still did in the Night at the Museum,
dude. I like
the end credit scene
when you watch them dance together. It's like, it's interesting because you don't know who's better. You see Laura with the finished, like dancer trained moves, and she does all the moves the way they're supposed to be done, and she looks great doing them. And then you see Rob, and he's like doing like these other takes on him, and he just looks, you know, it's more like he's just into it, like, you know, soulful.
Yeah.
So they both bring that to it, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, Dick Van Dyke said in an interview, I can't remember where it was, but he said he didn't learn how to dance until later in life.
Well,
he started to do Bye Bye Birdie.
Right. Right.
Someone taught him how to dance, and he just fell in love with it. And, you know, he's just, you know, the pantomime movements kind of coincide with dancing, being able to move your body in different ways.
Yeah. Yeah. So you do get to see them dancing, and it's fun, right? It didn't make it very high up on our list, but I think it's a lot of it's because anytime you have to hear them people sing for a very long time, slow like that,
yeah.
It kind of drags the episodes down.
It can.
And that was still coming out of the. You're still coming out of the Hollywood time where the people had to sing, they had to act, they had to dance. And a lot of times you get the feeling on Dick Van Dyke's show, they were trying to launch people's careers a few times. And I don't know if that's what was happening there.
Right. Like they were trying to do, like maybe they said, "All right, you know what, we'll have him come in and we'll sing the Twizzle. But you know what? He's a really good singer. Can he sing a song into a flower bed too? Can he sing a song into a flower pot? That would be great."
It's just not that funny. That episode doesn't have a lot of comedy in it, right? It's just, I mean, it's a little, Sally's kind of funny and Freddie's messy, but.
And it's a little annoying how at the end they're like, "No, I think the Twizzle's just fine. We just don't want the people to know that, you know, the way that they got stubborn about it, you know, it doesn't seem like they needed to be that dramatic. Just say, listen, he's a really good singer too. And we don't, you know, he doesn't have to like not show up.
They
and,
weren't
like,
gonna
disappear.
They weren't going to turn him down. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like they weren't going to be on the Alan Brady show because he wants to sing a ballad.
Right.
Right.
So I guess that could be what.
So now we're going to move on to number 131, right? Yeah. 131. It is Baby Fat.
Baby Fat.
It's not one I've watched a lot. Sometimes when you go back and watch the ones that you haven't watched often, you find a little bit, some more jokes in it.
Right.
And maybe we weren't as patient when we were younger, so we didn't, you know, stick with the episodes as much.
And then sometimes you sit down and you say, all right, I'm going to watch this and see if, you know, and then you say, oh, okay, that's why I didn't like it.
So for those of you who wonder, Baby Fat is the one where Alan Brady wants Rob to help him
ghostwrite.
He wants to help him fix the script for Baby Fat, which is written by Harper Worthington Yates.
Yep, and he always has to have his dog with him, his German Shepherd.
Right, and Harper Worthington Yates was played by, now some of you people who watch, it's either Strother Martin or Strother Martin, Strother Martin, and he was in a lot of John Wayne, Paul Newman movies, did some directing and stuff as well. So he's in it. What's Phil, here's a trivia question for you. What's the tailor's name?
Bo Brown.
Buck Brown.
Buck Brown, damn it.
Buck Brown is played by Richard Erdman. Richard Erdman was in a lot of movies, 160 movies or so. He did a lot of directing, and he was in Community, the show that was is still on.
No, I don't think so. I thought maybe they talked about like reviving it, but I don't know.
He just passed a few years ago. But he was in Community, and he was the tailor, and then the other guy that was in it is Sandy Kenyon. He's in the episode as well, and he plays in some Twilight Zone episodes.
Is he like the producer that talks to Alan Brady at the beginning?
Maybe.
I don't know.
I just know that he's in it, and there's not much to say about that episode.
I'm mad that I didn't remember Buck Brown, because I love when Rob, like, didn't like Loris say, who made fun of your suit? And he goes, Buck Brown.
Yeah, right. Right. Because he draws all over his suit and stuff. so that was interesting. Really quick, while we're on this topic, when I asked you what the tailor's name was, and you didn't know, I'm thinking about doing a live Respect the Pick Dick Van Dyke trivia episode, right? Okay. Where we get these people love this show. And they know this show. Good. There was a trivia game on our phone that mm-hmm. we used to play. And you could find a whole bunch of categories. And one of the categories was Dick Van Dyke. And the top, like, five people in New York State were me, my wife, and Jaden, and then two other people.
Interesting.
Well, because I didn't know everybody. There was this many people that loved the Dick Van Dyke show like us, you know?
The man who didn't know who Rob was running against made the top five?
I don't know. I'm saying that me...
That's you.
Oh. No, I was number one.
You were number one.
In all of New York State.
The man who didn't know who Rob was running against was number one.
As far as Dick Van Dyke trivia on this app. Awesome. And I was like, okay, I must be like the number one Dick Van Dyke. And then you go to these fan pages and wow, these people know. A lot of them are people that probably were around when the show was out. I don't want to call them old, but they're older, right? And so they've been watching the show longer than me. I've watched the show so many times. I can't imagine there's people who've watched it more than me, but apparently so.
Yeah.
But anyways, I'm going to have a prize like a gift
something
card.
Small, right?
Like an Amazon gift card. $20
We don't have a big Respect the Pick budget.
No, I'll take it out of my own money just to get people, and it'll be fun.
I agree. It would
and
be
they
a
can
lot
call.
Fun.
I'll give out my phone number. I don't care. We'll hook up.
Okay. I think there's ways of doing that to hide your phone number, but
then I can block people if I don't like them.
Well, no,
they can call me up and we can talk Dick Van Dyke. What are they gonna do? What are they gonna do? Anyways, it's a good idea.
Okay. Well, let's move on to episode 130.
Episode 130 is three letters from one wife.
That's a weird concept.
Yeah.
An episode of the Dick Van Dyke Show.
I like it that it gets Millie into it a little bit more.
Who don't love Millie?
Underappreciated. Underused, I thought, maybe, right?
I don't know. You see her quite a bit on the show. You see her a lot more than Jerry.
Yeah, Jerry's in a surprisingly low number.
Yeah.
It's less than 20, if I remember correctly, is the amount of episodes.
It wouldn't unless you count like his voiceovers, well, where he's like announcer on the TV.
Early on in the show, Carl Reiner does most of the voiceovers. But as the show moves on, Jerry Paris does a lot more of them.
Yeah, like he does the exercise guy, one, two, and
right.
In the Crummy Buttons commercial.
Yeah.
Have your Crummy Buttons.
Yeah, that's right. No, that's Alan Brady, isn't it?
No, I'm pretty sure it's Jerry.
Oh, okay. Anyway, speaking of that, which is interesting, three letters from one wife is the first time you see Alan Brady's face on the
really?
Dick show.
Yeah, I mean, I remember that being a thing. Like, Carl Reiner didn't think he was a big enough star, so they never wanted to show him on camera. They just, like, show his feet up, or he's getting the shave, or whatever.
They show him, like, in full clown, like, makeup. And
right, like, on a cover of a magazine.
That,
yeah.
But yeah, that's the first time. So that episode, by the way, is when Rob convinces Alan to do, like, an artsy-fartsy kind of a show.
Right,
and then
like
Alan doesn't want to do it, and then Alan's going to do it, and then Millie writes how many letters?
13?
So close. That's impressive.
12?
14. Millie writes 14 letters.
See, so why is it called three letters from one wife then?
I don't know. But obviously Millie's the one wife.
Right.
I don't know what. So.
Right. But she did it to make Alan feel good about making that decision to help boost Rob.
Right. And then the episode never aired, so then it's like, well, so then
she mailed them before the episode aired.
I still don't think that's like Rob's fault. Like why would Rob lose his job because
right? I don't get why it would be such a big deal for Alan to see that. Mm-hmm. Rob just go back and say my neighbor thought she was helping me out.
Right.
You know, I don't think anything to like get into full blown panic about.
But he does. He panics quite a bit. So then, all right. So next we have episode number 129, A Word a Day. Right, this is the one when Richie
is cursing. He's like writing swear words on the chalkboard, and it's just so weird to hear like, oh, he wrote that word, and then Mel comes in and is like shocked. Rob, this is a family show, you know, over one little curse word.
I, I believe Richie's named after Laura's kid. Okay, sorry, sorry. I digress. Laura, Mary Tyler Moore had a kid named Richie, and she called him Richard, and she called him Richie.
Oh, okay.
Obviously, Rob is named after Rob Reiner, right? So, okay, I mean, I'm sorry.
It would make sense that he did. I don't know if that's 100%.
I digress. I'm sorry, but this is what we do on Respect the Pick. You guys should watch the other episodes besides the Dick Van Dykes, but.
Yeah, we talk about Marvel movies and Star Wars and Game of Thrones and all kinds of nerd stuff.
Laurel and Hardy, we had a yeah. black and white episode, and
yeah, we couldn't figure out why we were not in color.
Look at all this color, it's amazing. All right, so you got anything?
All
else?
This blue, yeah.
A word of day, you got anything else on there?
Word of the day. The thing I remember about it is when we recorded them off Nick at Night, they used to tease the commercial how, like, sometimes, oh, you can see members of one Nick at Night show and other ones. And the priest was William Shallert, and he was in Patty Duke, and he was in a bunch of stuff, too, going on. He was in all the way up to How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was in stuff.
So a word a day, that's number one.
But then again, that's one thing the Dick Van Dyke Show did pretty well is shocking you, you know? It's like, well, I'm going to teach that parent, teaching his kids how to say bad words and teach them to my parent. And then he walks in, and again, he's a priest.
Yeah.
It's like, you wouldn't expect that foul language to come out of the priest's son.
Right.
So, but yeah, it's okay. I mean, not a whole lot other to remember about it. Not a lot of one-liners that stick out to me.
I mean, it's not terrible, but I mean, it's 129.
Buddy's always funny, you know. A rap in the mouth, definitely, you know. Two raps in the mouth, you know. So it's always funny when, you
so
know.
We're on to 128.
Yes.
128 is Meerschaum's pipe.
Meerschaum's pipe. How did this one get so high? I hate this episode. We've done way better episodes than this already.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Somebody gave it a good rating.
Rob is miserable throughout the whole episode. He's like sick and he's jealous. And
listen, the last few episodes have all been very, very, very close.
Okay,
so that's part of it.
All right, but yeah, he's so sick and miserable and. He's jealous of Buddy because he gets a freaking pipe from Alan Brady, and Buddy's like gloating about it and being a dick, and you don't normally see that out of these guys.
Well, it did get a 35 from one of the five judges. So that
interesting. Okay,
Meerschaum's pipe. The other thing about this is that it's weird to me because as far as the air date goes, if you look at the air dates, this is the second episode ever aired.
Yeah, right?
This was the. The second episode. No, this wasn't the second episode ever.
It was definitely recorded early. Like, he's calling Laura Lori throughout the whole thing. And
as far as airing it, though, it was down in the list. Number two was Curious Thing About Women.
Yeah, this is like 10 on IMDb.
But if you have it on, I don't know if it was on Netflix or if it was on the DVD set.
Yeah, it might have been the DVD set. It's like
number
two.
It was the second episode. So yeah,
I remember that.
I mean, you...
And you can tell it was recorded earlier because, like I said, Laura, and they show like outside the office, they show the hallway outside the elevator.
Does Rob have more makeup on again? And
I didn't pay attention to the makeup. The first episode is ridiculous. He looks like freaking Buster Keaton or something with all that makeup on.
I just remember liking at the end when he goes, "Huh? Yeah, I knew." Like, I always thought that was funny, but yeah, it's not the greatest.
Yeah, I was never a fan of it. I'm surprised it made it this far. Into the third episode of doing this.
There's no guest stars. There's nothing much to say. Not a lot of funny jokes.
Yeah. Right.
It does feel like it was, like it may have been the second one shot and the 10th one aired or something like that. But
yeah.
If you look at the air dates, it's behind a bunch of them. It was like in November or something. So.
Right.
So yeah, it goes. And so then the next one we're on is 127, The Man from My Emperor. Now, this is the one where Lee Phillips is the guy, the actor who plays the guy, and he wants to hire... Yeah, he plays Drew.
He wants to hire Rob to write an article for him in his magazine, right?
Right. Like, it's like a Playboy. Like, Drew Patton is the guy's name, right? And so Drew and Hugh, you know, sometimes it's just copying the syllable numbers.
Right.
Drew Patton, Hugh Hefner.
Right.
But it's clearly a joke about Playboy.
Right. And of course, Laura's jealous. And she doesn't want Rob to do it. And it wouldn't replace the Ellen Brady show, right? It was going to be something that he could do extra.
One thing that I've found out is that Laura, I got to go back and look and make sure of this, but Laura is the receptionist voice when Rob first goes to the office.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's Laura. And
I never noticed that before.
She played a receptionist in another show before, a detective show.
Right. They only showed her legs, right?
Yeah, we should look that up too. But yeah. And then there's also, I don't know if this is anything, but some people allude to the fact that he says he thought he already had his Miss October.
Oh, yeah, because he wants Laura to be it, right?
But and then Laura was in a couple the season before the episode called October Eve.
Oh.
Where the guy painted her naked.
Right. So. That Alan Brady.
Yeah.
Well, Carl Reiner, not Alan Brady. Okay, so that's it. That's it for those two.
Yeah.
So all right. So now we're on to 126.
Number 126. It's Anthony Stone.
Anthony Stone, that's the funeral director guy, right? The mortician?
The mortician. So Sally is dating a guy. She really likes him, but she doesn't want to tell anybody what he does. Buddy and Rob uncover the fact that he's married. They think that's the secret that Sally's keeping, with the secrets really if he's a mortician. Not a lot of comedy there. The guy who plays Anthony Stone barely does anything else. He's just a
random dude.
Yeah, he's just a bit part in everything else. But we have a lot to say about No Rice to My Wedding, I bet, which is the next one.
This one, I hate this episode. This is one of my least favorite episodes.
It's number 125.
If not one of the least episode. I hate any episode that questions Rob and Laura's relationship. It just drives me crazy. And the whole episode is about, does she choose Clark or Rob?
It hurts your heart, right?
It does.
You gave it a zero?
It's like,
Jaden gave it a one.
Because I watch these episodes and, you know, you get online and you look for like bloopers and stuff. And as cool as it is, it like breaks your heart at the same time to see that it's not real.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like same thing with Star Wars. Like it's like, it's just weird with stuff that you love so much, even though you know it's an actor, you know they played a part and there has to be outtakes and there has to be behind the scenes stuff. But as cool as it is, it also just like, so it crushes your soul.
Just sometimes when you have seen a line given, the specific line given so many times, and then you hear them do a different take and they have different inflection or something like that, you're like, what? That's not how he said it. Even right. You see an episode, you see a picture, a photo of the Dick Van Dyke Show, and it's just zoomed back just a few feet, and there's a camera in their face, and there's a director, and right. You know what I mean?
There's a part where there's no wall between the kitchen and the living room and right. Stuff like that.
Well, you see that in the episode.
Yeah, there are a couple where sometimes they goof.
I don't know one of them. They just blatantly do it.
Yeah. Right?
They open it up and play the guitar on the fucking counter, right?
Oh, is that a Stacey Petrie one?
Probably.
But
yeah, here's my thing. I gave a no Rice at My Wedding a little bit higher grade. One of them is I really like Laura as the bivouac baby. I mean, come on. The poster of Laura, that's pretty good. Good thing Jaden's not here right now.
Right. He gets uncomfortable with just talking about us liking women, yeah. Finding women attractive. I mean, women do it about men on shows too.
I know. But yeah, Mary Tyler Moore is the bivouac baby. Baby is good. Yeah. I think Rob's has some funny moments. Rob, like,
pointing at
his watch and all of that. Like you say you like Rob and those things. He does it a lot in that episode. I get why you hate the episode. You know, for your specific reason, right? It's just, you don't like it that they don't.
And then even at the end of the episode, she calls him Clark. I'm like, you fucking.
Don't say it.
Don't you. Come on. Don't
say it. I love Mary Tyler Moore just as much as Dick Van Dyke.
I love Mary Tyler Moore too, but that's a terrible way to end the show. Terrible. You don't call your freaking. I hate it.
Okay, I have a question.
Okay.
Because Clark and Rob both kiss Millie.
Okay.
Now, I have seen, I don't know if this is true. You guys at the fan page can tell me. Is there an episode or a moment, or is there only one, or is there very few, where Jerry kisses Millie on screen? Because I have heard And I don't know if it was in a fan page or a Facebook page or a IMBD trivia that Jerry and Millie, either they never kiss on screen or they only kiss once. Or maybe I read something about Rob has kissed Millie on screen more than Jerry has. You guys who are watching, somebody's going to know. Somebody's going to know.
I can tell you.
They kissed before?
Do you want to know?
Yeah.
Okay. How about when Millie's hypnotized? Doesn't she jump in his arms and kiss him?
I don't know.
And then, put me down. And this is that so
the only? Is that the only time?
That might be the only time. I'm trying to think, and I don't see. I mean, but they're supposed to be two. They're always bickering and fighting anyway, you know?
Yeah,
that's kind of their thing.
Maybe it's because Jerry Paris was married, or I don't know. I don't know. I want somebody to tell me if whatever I read or I dreamt it or something, or it might be a very limited time.
See, that's another thing that kind of crushes my soul.
Rob actually kissed Millie more than Jerry ever did.
And if they don't get along, that would like depress me if they like really didn't get along offset, because it like makes me think of like Cheers. Like the guy who played Eddie, the guy who married Carla, the hockey player, he went on the radio station and said, oh, wouldn't you be miserable if you had to kiss her every night? So they fucking fired his ass. Get the fuck out of here, dude. And they killed off his character in an embarrassing way. Go fuck yourself, buddy. You don't fucking come after Mark Staff like that. You don't come after our cast. So I love that about Cheers, that they just booted his ass out of here. Get out of here, dick.
Cheers is overrated.
Eddie LeBeck, right? That was his name. Yeah. I love Cheers. Cheers is just another one of those shows where it's true. It's like everybody knows your name. It's a place, you know, they kind of had broken homes or broken families. So this was their family. This is where
every TV show is like that, though. Everybody knows your name.
That's what
the comfort of a TV show brings, right?
Yeah, and that show really does in a different way.
It's, yeah.
Okay. But here, one last thing about no rice at my wedding. I didn't even realize this. I was never a big fan of the show. But the guy who played Corporal Clark Rice, Van Williams, he was the Green Hornet, and shows up in an episode of Batman and Robin. That's Corporal Clark Rice, and I did not know that.
He shows up in the Batman, the 1960s Batman, or yeah,
60s. Yeah, they like kind of have a crossover a little.
Adam West.
Batman. Yeah, with Adam, they were neighbors and really good friends, I guess. Adam West and Van Williams. And then, of course, Bruce Lee was Kato.
All right, I believe we have 3 episodes left to go. Okay, episode number 124 is A Bird in the Head Hurts.
Again, I don't know how this one got so high. I can't stand episode where Richie's whining in the whole thing.
I like that episode. I don't love it, but it's got some funny moments. And Richie says that the bird is attacking him and they don't believe him. And, you know, they bring over a game warden or something like that. And the cool thing about this episode is Rob Reiner has said that this actually happened to his neighbors.
Oh, really?
And his neighbors were called, his neighbors' real names were Jerry and Millie Schoenbaum. So he named Jerry and Millie after his neighbors, and that really happened to those neighbors. And Richie's teacher in the episode, Laura mentions his teacher gets married, and her name is now Mrs. Schoenbaum.
Oh, okay. I never put that together.
So that episode kind of...
I do remember hearing Carl Reiner say Schoenbaum, Millie and Jerry Schoenbaum, but I never put it together that, because I don't pay attention when this episode comes on.
And if Laura says... Her name is now Schoenbaum. You're not going to remember.
True.
You know what I mean? You're not. True. If you don't hear it enough. So that's episode number 124.
Yep.
And it's not, I don't think it's that bad. Next one is How to Spank a Star.
This is another one I don't care for. The Paula, what's her name? Paula Poo. They want to call her Paula Poo. She's the guest star. And Mel is asked to take a break from being producer because she does not get along with, he does not get along with Paula Poo. So, again, there's a lot of awkward moments where it's pretty funny when he can't get the intercom working very well. he accidentally says, and send a dozen of roses to my wife. And Ayla Brady comes out and says, what do you want me to put on the card?
The guest star on the show is Paula Marshall.
Okay, yeah. But they wanted to call her Paula Poo Poo Poo. Again, he's just so good at that.
What'd you say her name was? Lola?
Lola Albright. She wasn't in anything major. Starsky and Hutch, Incredible Hulk. She was in a bunch of other stuff, but nothing that I really know. Okay. And I always got her confused with Valerie Blake, who was in the first.
Oh, that's one of the very early
episodes. Right, the very first.
Third episode, yeah. Maybe?
And Jerry's like, Valerie Blake, right. You know.
All right, so we're going to move on to episode number 122. It's The Talented Neighborhood.
We're starting to get there. Yeah. I like this episode. This one's fun.
Yeah, the Alan Brady Show has a contest to see who's talented, and the neighbors want to bypass the red tape.
Mm-hmm.
So they always end up.
They don't want to audition. They think they can go through Rob and Buddy and Sally and get right on the show.
And Ken Lynch plays Mr. Matthias.
Right.
And he's also, you might not, I mean, if you want to put this in your own headcanon, Mr. Matthias is also a police detective.
Yep.
Who graduates on to become the warden of prison.
That holds Lyle Delp.
The same guy plays those three characters. That happens a lot on the Dick Van Dyke Show.
In that episode.
Yeah.
The mom of the kid who wants to sing opera is also the mother of Priscilla Darwell, who beats the crap up beats the crap out of Richie.
And Priscilla Darwell's dad is Laura's Laura's teacher.
This is the whole 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon we got going on here now.
I mean, again, it's like people didn't rewind and pause, and right. They didn't have videos, and it wasn't all over the internet. Oh, this guy played this guy.
Right.
Once it was gone, it was gone.
If that fucking woman showed up at my house when I got home from a long day work and wanted to have my kid listen to some kid, I'd get the fuck out of my house. Are you crazy, bitch?
Right.
Move on out of here. Are you kidding me with that?
Exactly. Get out of here. I'm not.
What kind of a saint do you have to be to sit there and listen to this kid sing? It's unbelievable to me.
So, yeah, that's how to spend. Talented Neighborhood. Now, the other thing on Talented Neighborhood mentions, it establishes that the helpers have three kids.
Okay. I thought that's come up a couple times.
I can't. Well, anyways, it's Freddie, who we see a lot.
Right.
Ellen, yeah. Who's in the episode. Ellen's in the first season. Right? The one.
Right.
Is that, stepped on my foot on purpose.
Is that where Richie is when he first comes home first episode?
The girl Laura's talking to is not named Millie. So,
do they say her name?
Yeah, they do. But
okay,
she means Ellen. Ellen has a disease, right?
Right.
I don't know if it's Ellen. We should know that. And then Patty is the other one. They do mention Patty, but I don't think you ever see her.
Okay. I thought Patty does sound familiar.
So yeah.
I mean, Millie's clearly pregnant in a couple early episodes, right?
Yeah.
The one with the boat, the inflatable boat. She's clearly pregnant in that.
Sure seems like it.
So, and they don't address that because you weren't even allowed to say the word pregnant on TV at the time, right?
Yeah.
So weird.
So that's episode 122. Now we're...
That's the last episode we got today.
That's the end for today. Please hang in there. We're going to give you guys the next one coming soon. It'll be the next 11. So that's what? 121 through 111.
Yep. So we still won't break the top 100, but hopefully these will get closer and closer to, you know, being released on time. The problem is Jaden with his scheduling. He was nice enough to let us record without him just to get an episode out there.
Yeah. And maybe he'll let us do it again. So, but please stick with us and comment on the things that we were mentioning. We had a couple questions we wanted to know. We wanted to know if Millie and Jerry kiss on screen or if they do, it's only once, or does Rob kiss her more or whatever it might be. There's a couple of...
And is there a reason to that? Do they not get along? Does Jerry Paris and Ann Morgan Gilbert not get along? Right? We wanted to know that, too.
Mm-hmm. Let us know. People are commenting. Tell us what you think of this 11 here. And I guess that's pretty much all we got to say.
And also, don't forget, we have like 30 episodes out there. We don't just talk Dick Van Dyke. If you're interested in other stuff, take a look at our episodes on either YouTube or anywhere you get your podcast. We may talk about something else that you like as well.
And if you give us a chance, I think you might stick with us. We just need people to listen.
We're a freaking hoot.
Yeah. Also, I know I've said this before, but I don't remember if I said it while we were recording. let us know if you would be interested in doing a Dick Van Dyke Show, a live Respect the Pick Dick Van Dyke trivia.
That would be fun. We have been live on YouTube and Facebook before, So it would be cool to, you know, reach a broader audience and, you know,
it would have to be something we're up against the clock, because I don't want people. Well, some of these questions would be hard to look up the answers to. So, you know,
true.
So
right.
So some time. Of the questions I have will be I've already thought of some. You really wouldn't be able to look it up. So, yeah, let us know. And then also you can try to stump us. But the only caveat is going to be you got to stump us with a top 11 episode. You can't stump us with some crappy.
I think he can go higher than top 11, but we definitely don't want to try to be stumped on freaking jilting the jilder or whatever, you know.
Yeah, I don't want to. I don't want to have to know about romance, roses, and rye bread. And,
yeah,
you know what I mean. Yeah. So, but yeah, if you can stump us, that would be fun too. They'll be able to. They'll be able to. These people know the show.
So than we. Are we? Reciprocating with that, are we gonna try to get them with a different one? We don't want to ask them about Meerschaert's pipe.
No, we're asking them whatever they want. We're asking them whatever they want.
Whatever they want or whatever
we don't
want.
Know what their top 11 is though. So
true, but at the same time, do we? I mean, it's,
but we're
it's,
not trying to stump them. We're just giving them questions. It's not about stumping.
Isn't that what trivia is?
Yeah, but they're just trying to stump us.
Okay.
We're going to give them five questions, and if they answer, you know.
It just doesn't fare for
it's
us.
Not to, it's not the same game.
Okay.
It's not the same game.
Okay. If you say so.
What I would do is I would have five questions for everybody who wants to play. There would be time. They would get the answers. Whoever got the most right, if they all, people who got five, they would have like a sudden death.
Okay.
Or something like that.
All right.
Situation. And then I'll give them, like, I wish I could give them a Dick Van Dyke prize, but what would it be? You know?
Yeah.
Nothing I can do. But
don't you have a signed photo of Dick Van Dyke and Mary Tyler Moore?
Yeah, but I'm not giving that. I'm not giving
you
that.
You don't want to offer that up as a prize?
Listen, I'll send them a Meerschaert's pipe. All right. Okay. So we're gonna sign off. Check us out on YouTube and all those other things. Like, subscribe, comment. Ring the bell?
Ring the bell's
okay,
a thing.
I'm just practicing that.
We're getting there.
But yeah, give us a comment where we really like. I love reading comments so much. It's so fun.
It's
and
been
try
fun.
To, we try to answer you right away. Yeah, it's fun to find fellow Dick Van Dyke fans.
So absolutely. Right. See ya.